Another edition of Mormon Expression. I'm your host, Glenn Ostlund, and I'm joined tonight with several of our regulars and some returning friends. So we've got Zilpha Larson. Zilpha, how are you doing?
Doing good. Hi, Glenn. Hi, everybody.
And who else do you have with you there, Zilpha?
I am sitting across from a handsome guy named Niall.
Guilty as charged.
He's here. We also have John and Nathan in the room, but they're not participating on the... Nathan is Niall's brother. They're here.
And you've got a cat that keeps popping in and out, right? Shadow?
Yeah, he left.
And this is your inaugural broadcasting out of the new Larson Mormon Expression studio?
That is correct.
I'm kind of jealous. You guys get to sit across from each other and do it. What is it that you said, Niall? You flew 9,000 miles just to be there? And
I flew a fair amount. It's fair great amount. To be here, though.
All right. And then we also have Melissa Evans. Melissa, how you doing?
Good.
And you've been on a couple of episodes before. Which ones did you do?
Actually, I think it was just one, right? It was the Relief Society, because... The other wasn't Mormon Expression.
No, you did. You did the.
The conference.
Yeah, the Sunday morning conference.
And yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Melissa is my sister. So we've come together tonight to do a podcast about Christmas music, and this was an idea really that came out of a couple of different podcasts that we've done in the past. We did the Saturday's Warrior. A couple months ago that had a lot of music in it, and that was a lot of fun to do. It was a lot of fun to listen to. And then about a month ago, we did one where we had some side discussion about Christmas traditions and Santa Claus, and Zilpha and I got to thinking and talking about it afterwards and thought it would be kind of fun to put together an episode where we just really talked about music and shared the different Christmas music that we like with each other and shared it with the listeners of Mormon Expression. Thought that might be kind of fun to do. So that's really the main purpose of this episode, is to share that music. And then the second thing that might inform some of the conversation that we have around the music, I was watching a documentary that was made for the History Channel. But at the end of the documentary, one of the academics who was being interviewed made a statement where he said that people who practice or who celebrate Christmas, they learn about themselves and they learn about their culture based on the way that they practice Christmas. So if they practice a traditional Armenian Christmas, they learn what it means to be Armenian. Or if they practice a traditional Mexican Christmas or a German Christmas, they learn what it means to be part of that culture. And so it got me wondering, is there a traditional Mormon way of practicing Christmas? So that's a question I'll pose to our panel tonight, and maybe pose to the listeners if they want to respond later on the boards or on the blog. So our two-pronged attack tonight, focusing on the music and asking, is there such a thing as a Mormon Christmas with our traditions? So does anybody have anything they want to add to that before we launch in on the music?
No, I'm good.
All right. Sounds exciting. All right, Zilpha. So I asked everybody to prepare a list ahead of time of their top five favorite Christmas songs, and we're just going to go down the list, starting with our number fives. And there's also some honorable mentions in here that we'll get to eventually as well. But number five, Zilpha, do you want to introduce your favorite, fifth favorite Christmas song of all time?
Yeah, but of course this was my fifth favorite Christmas song a few days ago when I made this list.
Right.
a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I Cry the Day That I Take the Tree Down. It's from the Forgotten Carols by Michael McLean. And I think the reason why I like this Christmas song is because it's about Christmas, the Christmas that I know and celebrate. And it's not as much about, you know, the scriptural Christmas, which is also fun to sing about. But this was more sentimental and, I don't know. It is kind of sad when you go to take the tree down and all the festivities are over and that's the end of Christmas for that year.
I want the season to last all year round. When I'm surrounded by these memories, it's almost like you're here with me. It's strange how things are changed when touched.
Cool. I don't think I've heard this song before. Is it a popular one?
I guess not. If you've
I'm
not
familiar
heard
with it.
It. But if you've heard the Forgotten Carols, it's the last song, I think. And it goes like, I cry the day that I take the tree down. I wish the season could last all year long, blah, blah, blah.
I like that. You don't have to blah, blah, blah.
And it's got an immortal Highlander in that story.
Yeah.
Really?
True. Yeah. This guy, I guess the point of the Forgotten Carols was somehow this guy had been a witness to all these...
Well, it's John the Beloved.
Oh, it's John the Beloved. These scriptural events surrounding Christmas, and he had all these carols that had been forgotten about different aspects, like the innkeeper and...
The homeless people.
Oh, the homeless people. That is my least favorite Christmas song.
Oh, that's the best one.
Oh, really? You like it?
I just don't like homeless people.
No, it's like homeless, homeless. It's all a cappella. Yeah. Like the Christ child was, we are not homeless. Oh, it's
man, Glenn, we missed out. I don't remember. I mean, I know I've heard the Forgotten Carols, like that title, but I don't,
no,
I don't know the music.
No, yourself. I'm feeling really stupid. I haven't heard this at all. This is completely new to me.
Well, there you go. And it's very Mormon.
Okay.
I guess they weren't Mormon enough.
The Forgotten Carols. I mean, is it a Utah group?
It's
well,
Michael
McLean. McLean.
Michael McLean.
Michael McLean?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I don't.
Well, Mom didn't like Michael McLean, I don't think, because he does more like talking than really singing. So I think to her it wasn't like quality
real
enough.
He the adoption song that's pretty popular. I can't remember how it goes, but what?
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
How does it go?
Oh, my wife loves that song.
Oh, from my arm, from God's arms to my arms to yours.
Yours, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Pretty that's a pretty sentimental one too.
Okay. So I cry the day I take the tree down, and this is one that it's been around since you were a kid. You've got like childhood memories with it.
Teenager.
Okay. Been around since I was a kid, you know.
Really, yeah. Well, my parents got a copy of the book and the CD, and we would do that a few Christmases. It didn't last very long.
My mom was a Constance in the play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there was a play, too?
Play?
It's a play.
Oh, my gosh.
And back in the day when the church didn't hate all things that are good, they used to do fake plays, right? She was Constance in the play.
Was Constance the nurse?
Yeah, Constance.
So she was
the
like the main character.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I think all those songs are kind of seared into my brain.
Aw.
It's a pretty good collection of forgotten carols. You should check it out.
Well, it sounds to me like that answers the Mormon Christmas question as well, that we've got this tradition that I wasn't even ever aware of or a part of, but there's plays, there's music, the Forgotten Carols, it's a story about John the Baptist, so there's kind of like the Three Nephite theme, but
well,
with the John the Baptist.
There's a nurse who's caring for an old man in an old folks home who she's not sure if he's crazy or John the Baptist. evidence or anything like that.
Interestingly, when I worked in the mental hospital for a little while, there was a guy in there who said he was John the Baptist. Go on. Yeah. John the Baptist.
Okay, yeah.
So John the Beloved.
So she was a crotchety nurse at the beginning, right?
Yeah, she was grumpy.
And she slowly, I guess in non-Mormon parlance, she'd be, you call it falling in love, right? But she's not falling in love. She's falling in love with Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like the Bah Humbug story, but it's a woman nurse.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Wow.
Anyway.
Was this around the time that the church was putting things out like Mr. Kruger's Christmas? And
I think it was after that. Don't you think? Or was it about that same
late 80s?
Time? This was the late 80s?
Maybe 1990. I don't know. Something like that.
I don't
know,
but they're still doing it. I mean, they still perform it every year around here. It's still pretty popular.
Wow. All right. Well, how about you, Niall? What's your fifth favorite Christmas song from a couple of days ago?
You know, anybody who talks to me knows that I love Christmas and Christmas music. I wait the whole year.
His brother's shaking his head.
Looking forward to Christmas. So my fifth.
Pick it up a little sarcasm.
No. These are my five favorite ones, and I do love these songs. And my number five is All Holy Night. I have no idea who wrote it or when it was created, but I'll tell you the first time that I heard it, and this is going to make me sound like a kind of an uncultured bore. The first time I heard it was when I was much younger, than the movie Home Alone.
Yeah.
It was the song that the choir was always practicing in the church when he was visiting the crazy snow shovel guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it struck me as angelic.
It is.
It was probably the first song I've ever heard that really got, I don't know, the idea of deity in Christmas. I always felt like all the other songs, the more popular songs, Silent Night, Joy to the World, Jingle Bells, blah, 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 they're taken over and over and over again, so that they're reduced almost like commercial jingles. And it's just annoying.
So who sings this version that you have of O Holy Night?
This would be the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They do a fantastic job with this version.
And is this your favorite version of the song, or is just this is?
I've never heard a version I haven't liked.
Really? Okay. No. Well, there are a couple other versions that are going to pop up on this one. And you know that Home Alone crazy old man was he Jesus?
No.
Really?
Oh. He was the snow shovel massacre.
He was just a lonely old man.
But wasn't he supposed to be like? Wasn't he like a Jesus figure? You know, like the old man with the white beard to come
Home
in. He's the savior.
No, he just happened to have a beard.
But
you know, it's
like
interesting how Home Alone was written. If you saw the, it seems like Home Alone would be sort of a simple-minded, you know, gag sort of movie, but it actually had a pretty decent story to it. I was always impressed.
Yeah,
with it.
I liked it.
Doesn't he have bandages on his hands at the end or something?
He had bandages.
From all the snow shoveling.
Yeah,
right?
He was shoveling everybody else's sidewalk.
Like Jesus. I'm pretty sure he was Jesus. I think you guys are just taking the Christ out of Christmas.
I think I definitely am.
But I think, Niall, the reason why O Holy Night isn't so commercialized and like it's not as, you don't hear it as often, is because it's so hard to sing. Like, you don't sit around and sing it as a group, like, you know, with your family, or you go caroling. It's not really one that you would sing because it's hard.
Well, good. The best stuff should be hard.
So do you guys take advantage of your proximity to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and go up and see the Christmas performance on Temple Square?
Nathan does.
Does
Nathan?
He?
But I think there's a good reason for that. He's much more musically inclined than I am.
Yeah. I think I might if I were in Utah. You know, I think Utah probably does Christmas well.
It does Smithmas better.
Smithmas. What does that mean, Niall? What's Smithmas?
I've gone to a lot of church meetings on Christmas Day where they don't even mention Christmas.
Oh yeah.
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 Joseph Smith.
Well, how many church meetings on Christmas Day did they say, you know, as our present to you, we're just going to do sacrament meeting and we're cutting out the other 2 hours. You can go home. It's kind of opposite of the rest of the Christian world where everybody goes to church on Christmas Day.
True.
The Mormons just, you know,
it's like,
we're just doing
home and be with your family.
Right.
For one.
They made that announcement today, you know, that we're doing church an hour later and it's only going to be 1 hour the day after Christmas. And everybody went, yes. That's great.
I never really felt that Christmas was a holy time.
Yeah, it's not as much for more. It's not, you know, like the Catholics, they always go to Mass and it's a very, very kind of communion kind of time.
The whole high time. When I moved to Norway, even though they're a very secular country, they have Advent. They do Advent for everything. They count the days. They light the candles, even though they're all, you know, atheists there, right? And they treat it like it's holy, even though maybe it's not for them. And I never got that sense of that Christmas and Mormonism. At least in Utah.
Well, I always felt that, you know, we're so spiritual all the rest of the time, not just on Christmas.
Yeah. We'd always make fun of those other people that just went for Christmas and Easter.
Right. So we're all full up by the end of the year. So, you know, we can have a break.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually, Melissa. And you know, I was thinking about it in the context of December the 25th as Jesus' birthday. You know, we know it's actually April 6th,
it's not.
Right? You know, so we kind of approach Christmas knowing that this isn't really Jesus' birthday, but we'll go ahead and join in with the world, even though we're not of the world.
Yeah, but, like all the Christians really believe it's Jesus' birthday.
Right, yeah, as if. Yeah, yeah.
There might be some who do, but...
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Great. Well, Melissa, how about your number five?
Well, it's this little ditty you may have heard of called O Holy Night, also. And we did email these out, you know, a few days ago, so I'm really not just trying to, you know, come on Niall coattails here.
Right.
Well, but, so Celine Dion, O Holy Night, number five.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long live the world in sin and near. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices.
Okay. And my number five, I mean, you guys are clearly much more in tune with the spirit of Christmas than I am. My number five is Smash Mouth, Better Do It Right, from the Grinch Who Stole Christmas soundtrack, that Jim Carrey movie. And I kind of like the subversiveness of it.
I don't know that. Is it really a Christmas song?
Yeah, it's Christmassy.
Mama told me, boy, you best behave, 'cause Santa keeps a list of all his faves, and if you don't shape up, you ain't getting squat. But the devil on my shoulder's getting hot, hotter than ever, cool out of sight. If I'm gonna do wrong,
it's kind of talking about if you're going to do wrong, you better do it right. You know, do wrong the right way. So it's kind of a sanitized Smash Mouth type subversive Christmas message. But I don't know. I just kind of like the music behind it. So that's my number five.
Interesting.
Okay. Number four, Zilpha.
O Tannenbaum, the jazzy Charlie Brown version.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I like that one.
I really like the song in the first place, just, you know, by itself, but that was kind of a cool way to listen to it. I don't really have much to say except for the fact that I think Christmas trees are beautiful, and I like the fact that they stay green during the winter. It's kind of a special feature that I appreciate.
Did anybody do any research on the origin of a Christmas tree?
You said there was no homework.
No.
I think you read that it was like 900 BC that the first Christmas trees started to be used. Not Christmas, but they would start to use evergreens in their winter celebrations.
I do know that the Vikings had a tendency to nail people and animals to trees.
Oh, nice.
I think it's related somehow.
Probably evergreen.
It was an inborn tendency, but later they called it a temptation. Actually, Nile. But yeah, it was Norse and then a German tradition. And then in 1840, I think it was, Queen Victoria married Prince Albert, who was German. And for the wedding, which was held in London, they brought in a German Christmas tree. And there was a picture of it that was published widely as this Christmas tree, and it was really the first time that a Christmas tree had appeared in England, 1840, and then it just kind of picked up from there. People loved it, and it became the in thing, and people in the Americas, in the U.S., liked it too. And so really 1840 with that marriage of Queen Victoria and Prince Albert is where it came over.
Solidified the tradition.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, it had been around for a long time. It had been around for a long time, but that's kind of what brought it into our what we know as the modern version of a Christmas tree and a part of our Christmas mm-hmm. celebration.
And, you know, I think people feel very strongly whether their tree is real or fake. What do you guys do?
I don't.
You guys real or fake, Zilpha?
Ours is fake, but I don't feel strongly either way.
I draw mine on a whiteboard.
See, I like that ours is fake because I can put it up the day after Thanksgiving and take it down on New Year's.
It doesn't drop just after. Samples, at least not very many.
Yeah, no.
And it doesn't spill water on your carpet.
But it doesn't smell, but...
Oh, I know. That's...
I like candles, so it's okay.
Yeah. What do you do, Glenn?
I used to be a bit of a tree snob, but I've gone the practical fake tree route the last couple of years and have been quite happy with it. So, yeah. Yep. All right. Well, that's and of course the Charlie Brown cartoon, you know.
Oh,
Nice memories of being a kid watching the Charlie Brown cartoon. Although I've got to say, breaking that out and showing it to my kids, it's pretty boring.
Well, and it's kind of really depressing. Like, I always remember you liking Charlie Brown and stuff, and so I thought, "Oh, it's nostalgic," but yeah, I've watched it the last few years with my kids, and I don't like to watch any of the Charlie Brown specials because they're all just really mean to each other and like depressing.
I got a rock.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they are a bit depressing, but my kids like them. We still like them.
Cool. All right, Niall, you're going to have to help me out with your number four here. It looks to me like it says hard to be a nice man. But no. I know that's not it.
Okay. My number four is called Hard to Be a Nisseman, or actually they pronounce it Nissenmarn, but I can't really say it correctly. And I have to give you a little bit of the backstory here. It's pretty traditional in Norway for them to broadcast like short little segments of a larger story on TV. And it's different every year. And it tells a story that is done on Christmas Eve, right? So 10, 15 minutes, you get a little section of the story, and it goes throughout the month. I took this off one of these Advent, what they call Jule calendar, my favorite one. It was the one that was playing the year that I first moved to Norway. And this particular story follows the adventures of a bunch of elves who were trying to retrieve a key for their old friend who's dying. And they're very musically inclined elves. And this is the song that they sing. It's sort of their theme song about how it's hard to be one of these elves, called the Nisenmann. Nisa is elf. So Nisenmann would be another way of saying an elf. Now, the thing about these gentlemen, when you listen to these songs, is that they're speaking English, sort of. It's a joke in this program that they speak atrocious Norwegian-laced English. So if you listen real closely, you can understand it. But then sometimes if you listen real closely, you won't understand it because they're mixing in Norwegian words, but they're also setting up the English in Norwegian grammar. So it's sort of the joke. But that's in the song.
Work, work, and work all dog and through. Work, work, and work, it's not to do. No food, no meal, it is so triste. I think we all have lost the gnir.
All right, Melissa, what's your number four?
I was trying to find one that could be a little bit politically correct for, you know, any of our listeners who maybe don't celebrate Christmas anymore. And plus, I just really liked this song. So this is Song for a Winter's Night by Sarah McLachlan. And I don't know if I really have a great backstory. It's probably one of my more like cheesy, just warm, fuzzy songs. I just can picture, you know, drinking a cup of cocoa by the fire, snuggling with someone you love and listening to this song. I don't know. I like it.
The lamp is burning low upon my tabletop. Snow softly falling. The air still in the silence of my room. I hear your voice softly calling. If I could only have you near to breathe a sigh or two, I would be happy just to hold the hands I love on this winter's night with you.
Well, my number four, you know, I noticed when both you and Zilpha submitted your list, you both had honorable mentions on here, and so it kind of made me a little self-conscious about my list of five. So I've been juggling this four spot, and I removed Wham. I had Last Christmas on there by Wham. I moved that into my honorable mention spot, and I put in.
I gave you my heart.
That's it.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. But the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
I've never heard this song.
Really?
You've never heard that song? Oh.
You know, believe it or not, I'm a little embarrassed to tell this, but until 3 days ago, 4 days ago, I'd never heard of Wham.
What? Well, George Michael?
I know the song, but I don't really know Wham either, Niall.
Well, I've never heard of it. But I told my wife that. She's, oh, was there this song by Wham? I'm like, what's Wham? Her eyes.
No. All right. So that's your... That's your alternate. What's your fourth? What's your real?
So what I ended up putting in there was, and this might be a little bit of a sellout, but one that I just heard from maybe the last few weeks by the Bare Naked Ladies and Sarah McLachlan, called God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, which I just think is really cool. I like the way that it sounds. I like their harmonies. I like the instruments in it. So that's all.
No, I like.
It's a great version. It's a great version. So that's my number four.
God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Well, our family growing up, we'd go to our grandparents' house on Christmas Day night. And we do a big talent show. It's a big deal. And I remember one year, our Aunt Kim, who's actually just 3 months older than Glenn. Anyway, she did a version of that, the Restroom Door Said Gentleman.
Oh, my gosh. How do you remember that stuff? Yeah. I tried to block out most of that stuff.
I remember all the verses. I thought it was so funny.
I'll pay you $100 for a copy of any of those.
Any of the verses?
No, any of a video of it or something like that.
Oh.
We do have some videos. Now. Yeah, we do
but
have some videos.
You guys know Glenn, he loves that stuff. So it's not, you know, it's not to embarrass him or anything.
No,
he'll probably post
it
on Facebook himself.
Yeah, there aren't ones of me doing that, though. I mean, my mom's the oldest of eight kids, and so my grandparents would get all of their kids together and then their kids' kids, you know. So all of my cousins and I, as these families, would do – it was almost like a non-competitive competition to see who could have the best, you know. And our cousins, the Allens, always had this fantastic, you know, like I think they probably practiced. They started practicing in September with the sunglasses and the choreography, you know, the
Jeff
dance
and I
moves
just sang
and stuff.
It. Yeah, when we were together last month, we were sitting around playing cards with Mom, and Jeff and I just busted out and started singing their song.
Yeah.
So.
It's yeah, that was nice. I mean, and we had some nice family traditions where we'd go out and we'd do the Christmas caroling with them and we'd do the talent show and things like that. But, yeah, nice memories there.
So do you have any clearly Mormon traditions in your family?
In my family that we do now, not really. I don't think so. There was
the
something
talent
that
show thing kind of feels Mormony to me, like a road show.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
I can see that.
And that may have been growing up more. That hasn't continued. We don't do that now with my kids. The only things that we do that as far as traditions are just pretty typical Christmas traditions. I mean, the only Mormony things would be when we go to the church, like we did last night for the Ward Christmas party, and they have Samuel the Lamanite depicted as part of the nativity scene, which you wouldn't normally see anywhere else.
Like standing, you know.
Right.
Standing on a wall by the manger?
Yeah, yeah. It's normal to see Joseph and Mary and a donkey. It's not quite as normal to see a llama.
Yeah.
But...
Well, in my family, we had this tradition of a Christmas Eve book. And for a long time, it was pictures of the different scenes from the Nativity and the angels and the three wise men. And we would sing the songs and read the scripture verses. And then my mom did a new version of the Christmas Eve book. And it included the Book of Mormon story and the Samuel the Lamanite, and there is a song in the primary songbook, a Christmas song. It's called Samuel Lamanite Tells of...
It said Samuel is what it's called.
I think it's called Samuel the Lamanite.
Oh, Tells of Baby Jesus, that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I think that's the only Mormon Christmas song that's like a mainstream, like approved by the Brethren.
Wow. So,
anyway, there is one.
Approved by the Brethren.
it's passed through correlation.
Yeah, oh, actually.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Missy, did you guys do anything? Any traditions from either our family or from Greg's family that were kind of Mormon Christmas stuff?
No, I mean, you know, just pajamas. I mean, yeah, nothing really Mormony. I always remember kind of feeling left out because other families would act out the nativity. And I know that you guys did that before I came along, really. But I always thought that would be kind of cool. And that's not necessarily Mormon. I mean, other, you know, obviously faiths would do that too. But I always thought that was cool when, you know, you have the little kids dressed up as the shepherd. And
well, I know that when we were in Wilmington, the LDS chapel there, it was along the main road, and they advertised that they were going to have a live nativity. So I guess they just had actors out there, and then people could come along and look at them. I don't.
Oh, our stakes have done that. In fact, I still helped with our stake that did it this last week, and they have like the crush exhibit. Did you guys see that in your stakes? We did that in Arizona, and we do it out here in Kansas City now, but.
What do you mean, crush?
Yeah, crush. It's the word for the nativity.
What?
Yeah, like nativity displays. It's called a crush. I never understood. Just call it nativities. We don't use that word. But yeah, they would have these displays, like, and so everybody's encouraged to bring their like favorite nativity display or crush display from their house, and they have them all lined up in different rooms. So like, you know, encouraging especially people to bring their non-Mormon friends to come and look at all these beautiful displays. And then maybe they'll have like for this stake, what they did just last week, they had a live nativity, but they kind of even took it a step further where they, I wish I knew who the painter photographer was that did these images, but they had a slideshow of different images depicting the nativity, like scenes. And then they had actors actually portraying that on stage and kind of acting out. It was actually pretty cool. Mm. I didn't get to see it because I was helping out a little bit, but Greg said it was really cool. So yeah, using it, always a missionary moment, right? Bring the people to see the nativities.
So are we on number three now?
Yes.
All right. Mine is Somewhere in My Memory. That's on Home Alone, and it's by John Williams. And
oh, I didn't know that was John Williams.
Yeah. I think I like it because it's nostalgic, and it's just the idea of the Christmas of your childhood and the Christmas, the Christmas that you remember. Somewhere in My Memory. And I like the tune. John Williams is great, so that's all I have to say about that.
I like that song.
What's your number three, Niall?
Oh,
looks like Moose Visa.
I think I'm going up to number two.
Okay.
My number three is going to be, I'm not sure what the actual name of it is, but we'll call it Disnud. Okay. It's snowing. And it's a, as far as I know, it's, whenever it snows outside, all the Norwegians run around singing this song. But it's actually about Christmas, so it's sort of like a white Christmas kind of song. This tiddly bum, tiddly tiddly.
Tiddly bum part.
Oh, yeah.
Tiddly bum, det 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 gjør. Tiddly bum, nå snør det mye mer enn før. Tiddly bum, og putte meg tur. Så kaldt det tiddly bum, jeg kjenner det her. Tiddly bum, kjenner det på mine.
Maybe they probably, if I grew up in Norway, I would hate this.
Like Jingle Bells.
Yeah. But since, you know, there's a huge number of Norwegian songs I'd never heard before. And so this one just sort of grew on me.
How long have you been in Norway now?
Oh, if you added up all the months, probably about almost 2 years.
2 years? Okay. Right. And what do you notice when you look at their Christmas traditions? What do you notice being different from what you were used to over here?
Well, for one thing, it's a month long thing. Christmas sort of starts at the beginning of the month, and they have traditions that lead up to Christmas. For example, it's traditional to make 7 different kinds of cookies, and you're supposed to make them as a family.
Are they the same kinds of cookies?
No, it's 7 different types.
Oh, just 7 different types.
It'll be gingerbread. You make sugar cookies, and you make, you know, this kind or
oatmeal.
That kind.
Oatmeal.
I like that tradition.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to eat that, you know, through the month as well. And but my favorite has got to be the Christmas dinner, because they have this delicious full rack of pork ribs that are roasted and braised, very crisp.
Mm.
So it's ribs with a side of sausage, and then with another side of sausage, beer. And it's hard to go wrong with that.
Cool.
John wants to do a goose. He's always talking about doing a Christmas goose.
Goose, okay. Well, it's generally a much less commercialized holiday over there. Not quite as stressful. I don't know if people consider it stressful.
Is it still present-oriented?
Yeah, but they do it on Christmas Eve. And they usually have them spread out for Advent, too, little... Probably what we would be called stocking stuffers. Mm-hmm. You'd have one per Advent day.
Do they still have a stocking?
No.
Oh.
And they don't have Santa Claus either.
I was just going to ask if it was Santa.
Well, they've adopted the image sort of from America and England, but they just call him the Christmas elf, Julenissa. But they don't have any real stories of like living in the North Pole with reindeer and elves. You know, in America, we're obsessed with Santa, really, right? Over there, they're obsessed with the elves. Not Santa's elves. They're just elves. Huh. Not associated with Santa, but...
just Christmas elves.
Yeah, Christmas elves.
Interesting.
Yeah, I have to say, Zilpha, you've really been making me think twice about... well, not twice, because you know, we're already in the throes of it all, of Santa. But yeah, just trying to explain it and... yeah, you've got a point. I almost wish I would have started without...
You're talking about explaining it to your kids?
Yeah, and just the whole... I don't know.
So now every time you tell your kids that Santa's real, you've got Zilpha Larson in the back of your head going, like wagging her finger at you.
Liar. Yeah, like on Jurassic Park.
No, I mean, it's still an experiment for me because I don't know what my kids will say about it when they get older. But right now, they're happy that they know and they understand the reason why we didn't pretend that he was real, and I think they appreciate it.
So. My mom wouldn't tell us he was real because she felt that if we believed him and found it was a lie, we wouldn't believe in Jesus.
Yeah, well, it's a similar kind of thing. That's where I started out, because when I first started, I was still a believer, and I thought along those lines.
Didn't really work out.
Why would I?
I was thinking along those lines.
Yeah, it's just harder, you know. As my oldest is 6 and almost 7, so he's just trying to ask more questions, and I'm trying to really teach him that we don't lie, even little lies. And so I find the double standard in it, but you know,
I mean,
it's fun. I don't know.
You could say it's not really a lie. It's just. A big make-believe world that you're creating for them?
You know, my mom wouldn't teach us anything false. My dad, however, office that there used to live an elf that lived in the crack in the ceiling. Sorry, this is the way I think about it. It used to have an elf that lived in the crack in our ceiling called Mr. Yehudi.
Yehudi?
Yeah. And he would throw candy. If you stayed out all night watching for him, he would throw down candy.
Why would your dad tell you to stay up watching for this elf?
Because he knew you probably couldn't.
But the best part about Mr. Yehudi, I did it once, but you always fell asleep during the night.
And you'd right.
candy on the ground.
Yeah, it's good.
But Mr. Yehudi is married to the lady who turns off the light in the fridge.
I like your dad. He sounds fun.
But I remember believing in Mr. Yehudi.
But you didn't believe in Santa.
But I didn't believe in Santa. So there's something to be said for that.
So did you appreciate believing in Mr. Yehudi? You liked it?
It hasn't stopped me from messing with my children in very creative ways.
Yeah, there's got to be fun.
I guess I'm just a little bit of a drag.
So don't feel too bad
way.
About it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's easier to be let down now than later.
Well, maybe this is a little off the subject, but I was thinking about this too. Because I can understand the point with the whole Santa thing, because you don't want it to detract from Jesus and, you know, from Christ and everything. But are you guys not really even on the Jesus path right now?
You guys meaning me and John?
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
So just Christmas is more just like fun and tradition. Like, do your kids ask about that at all?
You didn't read the latest blog entry on MormonExpression.com/blog.
Ooh, I guess I'm caught. I didn't.
John wrote a blog about basically how he feels about Christmas and how he still enjoys it, even though he doesn't really believe in the actual story
right.
it's about. You should read it.
I will, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I don't know the answer to it either. I think we're all good examples of whatever our parents have taught us. We've all kind of grown up to figure things out on our own. And, you know, like Zilpha said, it's all a work in progress still. You know, we're still trying to figure things out on our own.
Right.
My daughter, I was really proud of her today. When we got back from church and we asked, what did you learn today? She had in her primary class the story of Jonah and the whale. And so she was telling us the story of Jonah and how he didn't want to go to this city because he had heard that other prophets had been put to death. And so he got on a ship. And then when it was stormy outside, the people came and said, why is it storming? He goes, oh, well, it's because of me, so go ahead and throw me into the water. And she goes, and that seems kind of strange to me. It didn't seem like the kind of guy who would be afraid of going to a city to be put to death. And I thought, I love this little girl. That is a great little girl. So, you know, kids think for themselves. They'll figure things out. Anyway,
right.
I just wanted to brag about my daughter. So, Melissa, number three song.
Yeah, I just love this one. I can't hear it and not kind of start dancing a little bit. It's a Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
The mood is right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Especially the choir of, I started too low.
Yeah, you did.
Whatever, the children sing their song. They practice all year long. See, I never won the talent show in our family.
Yeah.
So you dig on the melody?
Yeah, just the words of it all. Like, it makes me happy. It's just a happy Christmas song. Like, everybody's happy. Everybody's working together. These kids have practiced these songs, and so we're going to listen. And I don't know, just all of it is just happy.
You know, and when we were sharing these lists, she said, Glenn, I'm surprised you didn't have that one on yours. And because I'm a big Beatles fan, and, you know, so she's always known that. I don't know. I kind of wore – I just I kind of skip it now when I hear it, actually.
It's a little kind of repetitive and like, dun, 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 yeah. dun. But like if you're in the right mood, it is kind of a fun song.
Yeah.
Well, it makes me happy. Even if I can't sing it well.
Parade.
It's all right. We'll talk about Elvis later.
Okay, right. Yeah, in one of those talent show performances, you know, that you wanted to see the videotape of Niall, I learned this on the keyboard and did it. And like when I figured out how to play it on the keyboard, it's so like basic and repetitive. It kind of took the magic out of it. I mean, it's like what Zilpha said. It's just like the same old thing over and over again. And that kind of went I kind of get bored with it now.
Ruined it.
This is This is just like Glenn and Dexter. Like every time we talk about an episode, I really liked it, and then he talks about like, oh, but I could have done this better, or not you, but you know, like they could have done this better, and then I have to second guess it.
Dexter's awesome.
I still like the song.
Okay. Anything more for Paul McCartney? Wonderful Christmas time.
Maybe you should edit out my singing. I really can sing well.
Yeah, you're a great singer.
Just not on a podcast.
All right.
I'm a ringtone.
Yeah.